I have a treat this morning. We're all going to sing Top of the World by the Carpenters. Now, the words will appear on the screen. Some of us know the words. We've heard the song. It's a catchy tune. I know the words. And then Pastor Vivian and I are going to do a performance like we do on Life Journey's Got Talent. We warned you on Facebook. But this was the Carpenters' one and only trip on the country charts. Loretta Lynn released it first and went to number one, but the Carpenters took it to the top 10 of the country charts in 1974. Can you believe that? But it was their only one. So come on, Pastor Vivian. Go ahead. That's. Ready? All right, let's get in our spot.
Such a feeling's coming over me. There is wonder in most everything I see. Not a cloud in the sky, got the sun in my eyes, and I won't be surprised if it's a dream. Everything I want the world to be is now coming true, especially for me. It's clear, it's because you are here. You're the nearest thing to heaven that I've seen. I'm on the top of the world, looking down on creation, and the only explanation I can find is the love that I've found ever since you've been around. Your love's put me at the top of the world. Something in the wind has learned my name, and it's telling me that things are not the same. In the leaves on the trees and the touch of the breeze, there's a pleasing sense of happiness for me. There is only one wish on my mind. When this day is through, I hope that I will find that tomorrow will be just the same for you and me. All I need will be mine if you are here. I'm on the top of the world, looking down on creation, and the only explanation I can find is the love that I've found ever since you've been around. Your love's put me at the top of the world. And the only explanation I can find is the love that I've found ever since you've been around. Your love's put me at the top of the world.
Was the sermon. Today it's the sermon, the musical. So for 45 years, I've played that song more than any other song in my music library. I hear it, I listen to it, I play it in the car, dance down the street as I'm driving. It gives me a feeling of contentment. I'm with Jesus. That song is about Jesus. I am with Jesus. I feel God's love. Nothing could be better. That puts me on the top of the world. I don't sing very well. I'm sorry, Jason. It is not a big celebration, happy, happy song. It is the Carpenters. But it's not Pastor Jeff's favorite either. Barry Manilow, we know how happy and exciting his songs are. I call it sedate happy. But contentment is probably a better word for that. But it seems that life today, for many of us, is anything but content. Craig Groeschel, in his book, Weird, Because Being Normal Isn't Working, and that is a book, he claims that today, being a Christian has defaulted to just being normal in today's world. The use of bad language, being unkind to each other, being overly critical and gossipy, being very self-critical, and our upside-down priorities have become normalized. On top of that, Craig says that there are not enough hours in the day to buy, sell, drive, cook, clean, call, shop, eat, plan, study, write, review, schedule, and follow through on everything. Overwhelmed, overloaded, overscheduled, and exhausted, everybody talks about wanting more time, but it's only to catch up on what we're already doing. Rushing, planning, trying, worrying, and rushing some more. Our relationships suffer, families suffer, health wanes, priorities fade. Many people do not know their life's direction because their soul is dizzy, spinning around so much. There's not enough time or room for God. Normal is busy, and it's getting busier. Contentment and joy, well, they evaporate. How do we get some of that back? That is what we're going to talk about today, something that Isaiah offers us in Isaiah 55. Let us pray. Now, God, it's coming to the holiday time, and boy, we're busy now, but it's going to get even busier. You know, God, help us to get back some of that contentment that you want for us. Help each one of us grapple with the things in life that'll help each of us get to a place where we can say we are moving on contentment. Help us find what that is. In Jesus' name, amen. I studied several definitions of contentment, and I've come up with my own definition. And my definition is, contentment is about trending toward peaceful satisfaction. Trending toward because it is part of our spiritual journey. It is a process. It involves appreciating what we have and where we are in life as we get to going to that next place. Trending toward contentment and then moving away from that discontentment. Jonathan Franzen's book that's titled Purity, the main characters of the story are seriously flawed and they have major life challenges based on a lot of the things that they've done to themselves in the book. The book is about how Pip, who was the main character, she's trying to work her way back to being a better person. Now, Pip is in the pursuit of purity. Here is a short dialogue of what Pip says in the story as she is chasing purity. By the way, it's a 600-page book. Scraps of morning cloud and mist were shedding themselves on the sandstone pinnacles. The sun gaining the upper hand. The world here seemed created afresh every day. Pip sat on the grass and watched a bird with a long forked tail follow the goats eating flies. It would do this all day. Its job and its place in the world were secure. Pedro, crossing the lawn with his chainsaw and one of his sons, gave Pip a friendly wave. He seemed similarly secure. Andreas came outside and sat down by Pip. Nice morning, he said. Pip responds, the sunlight feels especially disinfectant today. She goes on, you know, I've always hated the word paradise. I thought it was just some stupid born-again speak for dead. But now I'm having to rethink that. Like that bird there. that bird seems perfectly contented. I'm starting to think paradise isn't eternal contentment. It's more like there's something eternal about feeling contented. There's no such thing as eternal life physically here on this earth, because you're never going to run out of time. But you can still escape time if you're contented, because then time doesn't matter. There's something about eternal about feeling contented. There's something eternal about feeling contented. Let's say that together. There's something eternal about feeling contented. A pastor, a priest, and a rabbi walked into a bar. Really, a pastor, a priest, and a rabbi ran into a bar. Oh, come on, that was better than Jeff. This is how life happens. Some situations are more difficult than others, but no matter, we seem to be living from one bump on the head to the next. Our contentment keeps taking its lumps. So what causes those lumps? Well, Duke University did a study on peace of mind, and they found 8 factors that were contributing greatly to cultivating a contentment as follows. So this study is from Duke University. And so that first item is the absence of suspicion and resentment. Do any of you identify with that? Number 2, not living in the past. Number 3, not wasting time and energy fighting conditions you cannot change. Number 4, force ourselves to stay involved with the living world. You know, resist the temptation to withdraw and become reclusive during periods of emotional stress. Number 5, refuse to indulge in self-pity when life hands us a raw deal. Accept the fact that we all go through life. We all have sorrows. We all have misfortunes. Cultivate the old-fashioned virtues: love, humor, compassion, loyalty, gratitude, honesty, charity. Number 7, do not expect too much of yourself. And number 8, find something bigger than yourself to believe in. Now, Duke goes through a nice big list here, but the thing is, number 8 to me touches all of the other 7. And so we're just going to concentrate on number 8 today. So that brings us to today's scripture. The prophet Isaiah might explain contentment this way: the invitation to abundant life is the invitation to contentment. So let's look at Isaiah 55 and ask 3 questions. Number 1, who are invited to this life of contentment? Number 2, what is being offered to achieve it? And number 3, how do we get it? So who are invited to this life of contentment? The answer is really simple. It's everyone. Isaiah 55:1, the thirsty who are broke and cannot pay, and the thirsty who think they can pay and work their way to satisfaction. That's all of us. Come, everybody who thirsts and has no money, no resources, no bargaining position, no track record, no power, no prestige, no pull, too many commitments, not enough time, upside down priorities, lack of charity. God invites us all. But what are we offered to achieve this contentment? And so it's about a spiritual staple. So in John 6, In John 6:48, Jesus tells us that he is the bread of life. God is the bread of life. So how do we get this bread? Jesus says in Revelation 3:20, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and we will share a meal together as friends." Sharing a meal back in the day was a holy experience. It was much better than our approach. You know, we've got the drive-through and grab-and-go mentality today. But back then, it was a big deal to fellowship with somebody. It was a high honor, and that's why Jesus says that I will come in and eat with you. So how do we get that bread? How do we get that bread? We open the door. Jesus is knocking. Contentment begins with inviting God into our lives. The invitation to allow God should be made every single day. You know, today I have decided to become a follower of Jesus. I'm opening the door. The next day, today I am opening the door to be a follower of Jesus better than I was yesterday. I am opening the door. How do we get the bread? We invite God into our lives. And so what about the water? What about the water? Water corresponds to the need for refreshment. When we are most thirsty and most desperate or dehydrated, it's, you know what? That was my cue. Hold on. That was a good, yes, that was good. My throat was getting dry. So when we are most thirsty and most desperate, most dehydrated, it's water that we want and nothing else. God leads me beside still waters. God restores, refreshes my soul. That's Psalm 23, 2-3. Lord, I thank you that you satisfy to the full my weary soul and replenish my hurting soul. Jeremiah 31:25. God invites us to receive spiritual refreshment and renewal. But how do we get that water? Prayer, quiet time, and rest in God is the water for refreshment. Psalm 37:7, Lord, thank you that I can rest in you and wait on you. Matthew 6:6, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to God in secret. When we come into the presence of God in prayer and silence, refreshment is there for us for the taking. So what else are we offered? We're offered the milk. So milk corresponds to the need for ongoing spiritual nourishment. When someone is thirsty, you give them water. But when you want a little baby to grow day after day, you give them milk again and again. God is not just for emergencies or those mountain peaks. God is for our spiritual health in the long haul. God invites us not only to come alive with water, but also to be stable and strong with milk. So how do we get that milk? How do we get that milk? Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Read the Bible. Read a Bible commentary. Use a devotional. Listen to spirit-filled music. Read spirit-filled material. There's lots of options. Take advantage. Get your milk every day. James 1:22-24. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens but does not do what it says is like someone who looks in the mirror after looking at himself, goes away, and then immediately forgets what they look like. In other words, reflect on our lives. Look inward. Become more self-aware. Ask God for help in doing that. Journal. Pray. Look inward. Talk to a spiritual director. There's lots of ways that we can be getting our milk. Remember the commercial, milk does the body good? Well, here, milk does our spiritual growth good. So what else is being offered? Well, we've got the bread, the water, the milk. Well, now it's the wine. Wine corresponds to the need for joy. Doesn't that make sense? The need for joy. Good times in life are necessary. Laughing, playing, huh? Isn't that important? Being joyful are all part of a journey toward contentment. How can we be content if we're not hearing Pastor Jeff's jokes, right? So how do we get that? How do we get that? In Psalm 71:23, my lips will shout for joy. I will sing praises to you, my soul will also, for you have redeemed me. The wine is worshiping God and fellowshipping together. Attend worship regularly. Join an oasis. Join a service team. Be in a place where you can worship, you can fellowship together. Because where two or three are gathered, there is Jesus. So we have our bread, we've got our water, we've got our milk and our wine. So how do we get contentment? We come, buy, and eat. Rich food, the banquet. Thanksgiving is this week. We're going to have a big banquet. Well, I'm talking about God's banquet here. God's Thanksgiving. So the Hebrew word translated as buy in this case doesn't have a direct translation in English. In Hebrew, the concept of an acquisition or a contract or payment, they had different words, but in English, the three terms are combined to mean the same thing when it's interpreted in the Bible. It's all interpreted to buy. But the Hebrew word used in Isaiah 54 is actually better translated as supply. Supply. And so the statement should be, it is free. God supplies it. God supplies it. It's free for the taking. Isaiah 55:3, God says, incline your ear. Come to me. Hear, listen, that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant. Well, what does that mean? We abide in Jesus. We remain in Jesus. And Jesus abides in us. Jesus remains in us. Partake of the bread, the water, the milk, and the wine. Feast in the banquet. And we will remain in God. So here's my equation based on Isaiah 55. We've got the bread. God and Jesus as our spiritual staple. We've got the water. The refreshment, spending time with God. We have the milk, the nourishment, the word and reflection. And we've got the wine, the joy, the praise, the fellowship, the worship. And what does that add up to? That means we are trending toward contentment. Nothing else will satisfy. Again, Isaiah 55:2, nothing else will satisfy. Three people were visiting and viewing the Grand Canyon, an artist, a pastor, and Rose Nyland of St. Olaf from the Golden Girls. As they stood on the edge of that massive abyss, each one responded with a cry of exclamation. The artist said, "Ah, what a beautiful scene to paint." The minister cried, "What a wonderful example of the handiwork of God." And Rose Nyland thought, "What a terrible place to lose a cow." Do we want to be the ones immersed in the beauty of God? Or do we want to be stressed out thinking about all of our cows, everything that keeps our minds adrift? I mentioned Craig Goschel's book earlier, Weird, because normal isn't working. Craig says, jump off the normal path and onto one that may seem a little weird. Craig makes several proposals. One of them is about our time. What do we choose to invest in our time? We find time for what is important. If watching the Colts or playing a golf game is important, we put the time aside. If my favorite TV show or video was important, we put a time aside. If going out on the town is important, we put the time aside. If God is important, then we put the time aside. Regular prayer time, regular worship time, regular service time, and regular connection and fellowship time. In reality, in today's normal time, it seems we give God the leftovers, if there are any left. And then we wonder why there's so much unrest in our lives. Today, what Isaiah is sharing with us might seem weird. If we sow our time sparingly with God, our contentment tends to be adrift. So picture it. May 2011, the entryway of Pastor Jeff and David's house. I just picked myself off the floor at the bottom of the stairs. I had fallen down the stairs, but I couldn't remember. I didn't know how long, but I was out for a while, and the last thing I remembered was being at the top of that staircase. In the months that followed, I was having migraines, blackouts, dizzy spells, vertigo, and sudden memory loss. I was doing seemingly odd things, even for me. Yes, even for me. The doctors were at a loss. I was doing physical therapy to help the dizzy spells and migraines, but it just kept getting worse. I became dejected and despondent. I barely persevered. When I switched neurologists, thank you, Donna Hayes, they performed some additional testing. They did some sleep studies to track my movements and my EEG during my sleep because I was having trouble sleeping and waking up with bad cramps. Now, the cramps were so bad that I would fall down when I would try to get out of bed. And there were a few times where Jeff had to scrape me off the floor because I couldn't get up by myself. I would get so fatigued, it was all I could do to get from the bed to the couch. I would just sit there in silence. At first, I would just use the time to feel sorry for myself. My mind would go adrift. I was frustrated. This is when I started medications that eventually got me to where I am today. It was a bumpy road. It got worse before it got better. It's not all perfect. Complex partial seizures are just an odd thing. I take different medications during the day than I do at night. So one regimen, then another regimen. And then I take other medications to counteract the side effects of those medications. So after a few years of dealing with this, the doctors concluded that this all came about slowly over the years from my brain tumor when I was 29. I get sad occasionally, still grieving the loss of not being able to do all the things I once could, but it makes me feel better when people tell me I can still be like the Energizer Bunny compared to them. But of course, it makes me wonder about them. Contentment under such circumstances is not easy. Medications have caused a weakened left ventricle and large nodes on my thyroid. It is what it is. I raise my story because many of us have chronic or debilitating health issues. They make us vulnerable. Our hope and joy can be taken away, slowly crumbling before our eyes. and the voices of the enemy find their way. It's difficult, but it's not impossible. In spring 2012, I recalled something I learned back in seminary in one of my spirituality classes, the prayer of recollection. This prayer really stirred in me and stayed in me for a while, but then I let it slip away. I brought it back when all this crazy stuff was happening. This prayer is from the work of Saint Teresa of Avila, a 16th century monastic. The purpose of the prayer is to recollect or remind us that God dwells in each of us right here, right now. She called this being mindful, and she called it this little heaven of my soul. Teresa advises us to use this prayer anywhere and anytime to recall and rest in God's presence. So here is the prayer of recollection. And why don't we say this together? Give me the grace to recollect myself in the little heaven of my soul where you have established your dwelling. There you let me find you. There I feel that you are closer to me than anywhere else. And there you prepare my soul quickly to enter into intimacy with you. Help me, O God, to withdraw from exterior things, from my anxiety, from my worries. Make them docile to the commands of my will, so that when I want to converse with you, they will retire at once, like bees shutting themselves up in the hive in order to make honey. I would say this prayer multiple times a day, day after day. You know, that milk thing, day after day. It made a big difference. I found myself immersed in God again, no longer feeling sorry for myself. I did not dwell on my situation or worry about it. I take it as it comes. Some might think this prayer thing is weird, but it was exactly what I needed. It is exactly what Isaiah is telling us in Isaiah 55. There are copies of that prayer recollection at the welcome desk, so I pick one up for you, pick one up at the end of the service, take it home, and maybe you can use that yourselves. Harold Brown, he just joined the church. He was here on the platform not too long ago. He shared with me his daily ritual. He just shared this actually a couple days ago. Harold has been living with HIV/AIDS for over 40 years. He also lives in poverty. Scarcity is a daily issue. Every morning, he gets up and listens to the Mississippi Gospel Choir. He listens and prays, having no doubt that God will see him through everything in his life, even the discrimination and HIV/AIDS he has faced. He says the Lord's Prayer. He ruminates about the connections with others and on leaders and people in the Bible and how he relates to them. He spends his day with what he calls witnessing the gifts. For example, when I shared my dad's improvement from radiation treatment, he said that he had been praying for my dad, and this is one of those gifts that have been witnessed. Harold says, I rejoice with you. All day long, Harold gives gifts. He says, I give away a smile, make someone laugh, spread some joy, and people around respond with enthusiasm. Harold has a neighbor who hates him because he's gay. He bangs on the wall and yells at Harold. Harold is mostly just quiet. Sometimes he'll say something in his own quiet way so that his neighbors know that God loves him. He attends worship every week. He says God is truly great. Harold is eating at the banquet of Isaiah 55. Harold is trending toward contentment. How are the rest of us doing? I have a really weird proposition for you. December 17th at 4 p.m., that's a Tuesday, week before New Year's Eve, through December 18th at 6 p.m., that's a week before Christmas Day, 24 hours plus two, exactly 1 week before Christmas, I'm planning a 24-hour silent Advent retreat at the Fatima Retreat House, which is right down the street here on 56th Street. You guys know this is my busiest time of the year. And so this will be my calm before the storm. Will you join me? There is a response form in the bulletin, so if you want to join me on this, please do so, or you can talk to me after the service. Because we're staying overnight and receiving meals, it's not free like Isaiah 55 says. It's $72, but the time with God is free. I challenge all of us to be weird with me this Christmas, or give this as a Christmas gift to someone who needs it. Join me for 24 hours of Advent silence. Maybe you have time to do it in another day in your way, but that's a challenge. Let's prepare for God with us. Let's prepare for Emmanuel this year. There's something eternal about feeling contentment. Am I trending toward peaceful satisfaction? Am I trending toward contentment? Eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich spiritual food. Nothing else will satisfy. We can have it anytime, but we have to make the time. And by the way, it's free. Freeing. Amen.